Hi, this is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm so excited to be joining the lineup on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I'm a permanently assigned deacon at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church in Irvine for the past 13 years, and I have been a Catholic radio show host for more than 4 years on my show Empowered by the Spirit. We focus on love of our Catholic faith, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We feature priests, bishops, and lay people speaking on the current pandemic, divine mercy, the Holy Spirit, and how to grow in faith. We'd love to hear from you about the show. You can contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. That's DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. So join us on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. It's a very special broadcast regarding COVID-19, the coronavirus, the pandemic of 2020. I am here in Christ Cathedral, a very empty Christ Cathedral, as you might imagine. But we wanted to have this show because of really the current crisis that we have. And we are so blessed to have the Most Reverend David O'Connell, the Bishop, Episcopal Vicar of the San Gabriel Pastoral Region in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, on the show with this important, important show and message. Welcome, Bishop.
Thank you very much, Deacon. Good to be here with you.
It is wonderful to have you here. And so many people are living in fear and anxiety. So many people are just, they don't know what to do. You know, they may be shut-ins. It's almost like a ticking time bomb. But as it relates to our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus was very clear to say, dismiss all anxiety. Do not fear. I am with you. So while we have to be cautious, certainly, and do the right things, as Catholics, as people who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, our attitude should be somewhat different. Your thoughts on that, Bishop?
Well, yes. So I think we're in a very strange time. It's a very frightening time. From people don't even have the comfort of the Mass and the sacraments right now. So there's a double spiritual anxiety in their lives. But I think that the first thing I always tell people in times of fear and in trouble or illness is turn to the Blessed Mother. She will help you. She will bring peace into your heart, and she will help you to be renewed in your love for Jesus and be renewed in your love for each other.
I couldn't agree with you more, Bishop. I am currently writing almost an emergency book called Be Not Afraid, and I'm right now in the chapter of the Blessed Mother. If you think about our spiritual mother, she is there watching over us and helping us and leading us to her son, Jesus. Tell us about the power of the rosary, because I believe very strongly that this is a time for all of us to be united in praying the rosary.
You know, Deacon, I was telling somebody recently that Ireland, during all the 1700s, was a country where the Catholic faith was outlawed. Priests who were caught saying Mass would be hung. The priests basically would go around the country in disguise as beggars. They would tell people that they would say Mass out in the forest or on the hills. And they would do that hidden, because if they were caught, that would be death for them. But the people, the Catholic faith, survived. And it survived because the people in their homes said the rosary. Can you imagine 100 years of this kind of world that we're living in right now, which was even more disastrous because of times of famine and starvation and immigration and terrible suffering and poverty? But as well as that, people did not have the benefit of their Catholic faith and the sacraments, except only once in a while. But it was their great devotion to the rosary that kept the faith alive and kept it very, very strong all during the 1700s and in the 1800s as well, where there were churches open, but there was still terrible famine and disease and trouble. So it's in part of my own DNA and my spiritual history of the people of Ireland that it was the rosary that kept our faith alive. And even these days, when I was working in South Los Angeles all those years, I would speak to children who were many times feeling very lonely and isolated or traumatized from the families falling apart, or say to the men in the men's group or the men I would meet in the streets whose lives were impacted in so many ways by addiction or rage or violence or different traumas in their own lives, I would tell them just to turn to our Blessed Mother. You know, and people, especially men who would feel that even unworthy to come to church or feel at a very distance from Jesus, they would, when they turned to Mary, they would know that, well, she's their mother. So no matter what was going on in their lives, no matter what, how broken they were, no matter how bad things were, they know that they could turn to their mother. And we'd go around the streets with Our Lady of Guadalupe and all her evangelization, and I could see how their hearts would melt, because if they would just take some time just to even say Hail Mary, Holy Mary to our Blessed Mother, looking at her beautiful face, that they would feel something. They would feel something almost right away. And all they would feel would be some of her kindness and some of her love and healing that comes from Jesus through our Blessed Mother to them.
My brothers and sisters, we're on with the Most Reverend David O'Connell, Episcopal Vicar of the San Gabriel Pastoral Region in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Bishop David, what you're saying about the Blessed Mother is so important for everyone to understand. Our patroness is Our Lady of Guadalupe for the Americas, certainly for our diocese in Orange here, but it is throughout the Americas. And the point is that she is there. The Blessed Mother is there waiting for us, giving us strength, giving us hope, turning to, us to our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the scriptures that I love is a scripture related to hope. And this is in Romans 15:13 that says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Right now, Bishop, so many people living in fear and dread. They're going to stores and wiping off the shelves, not, you know, with groceries and everything, and not knowing what exactly to do. But God is the God of hope. And I think it's so important that we unite in prayer, unite in faith, and unite in hope. Your thoughts on that?
Well, this is definitely a time to turn again to the Lord Jesus. And especially in times like these where we're so fearful, I wanted to say, I would like to give everybody just this advice to, right now, even today, turn your whole life over to Jesus. Put your life on His authority. Again, I would say to people I meet on the streets in South LA many of them who are living these kind of lives that we have right now, where everything is uncertain, where there's breakdown in their families, where they're living in terrible, difficult circumstances. I would say the first step in the transformation of your life, first step in having that new life, is to turn to the Lord Jesus and to speak to Him with love, put your life under His authority, to put your family under His authority, put your hand in His hand, and turn to Him again with great love. You know, when the bishops met with the Pope at the end of January there for our limited visit, Bishop Van was there, of course.
Yes, I heard a lot about it.
Oh yeah, we had 3 hours, Deacon, speaking with the Pope. You know, but the it was interesting to me that one of the first things he said to us, and I can't even remember what the question was that we put to him, but one of the first things he said to us and was, teach people how to do prayers of adoration. I hadn't had him say that before, but he said, teach people how to do prayers of adoration, because then they will experience the love of Jesus in their hearts. And I would always say to people, no matter who they were, no matter what was going on in their lives, would you like a new life? Would you like a way out of this darkness you're in? And then if they would say yes, I would say, well, the way is to turn your life over to Jesus. And the prayer of adoration, maybe my take on this is maybe a bit simplistic, but basically the prayer of adoration is talk to Jesus with love and even sing to him with love. But just talk to him with love. Talk to him from your heart to his heart. Jesus, I love you. Come into my life. Guide me. Be with me. I put my future under your authority. I put my life under your authority. I put my family under your authority. Just speaking to him with love, and do that. Take a few minutes, the morning, the evening, even during the day. And people would tell me, you know, all sorts of circumstances, young people who were impacted by gangs, or little children in school, or parents in the catechism class, they would tell me things like, I did that for a few days, and even after a few days, I began to feel Jesus walking with me. And I began to experience his help and a bit more kindness and peace in my heart. And they would say, the problem that seemed so huge began to seem a bit more manageable day by day by day. So this is my advice now to everybody out there who can hear this, that this is the first step for all of us, no matter what circumstances we're in right now, is to turn your life over to Jesus and begin this prayer of adoration, speaking to Jesus with love, even singing to Jesus with love, to holding on to Jesus with all your, loving him with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. That's the way to new life.
My brothers and sisters, this is an incredible opportunity for us to surrender our heart, our soul, our mind, everything that we have, our very being, our very essence to our Lord Jesus Christ. You will never be disappointed. And as Bishop is telling us, this is the opportunity to go deeper into prayer. Find a place within your house, within wherever you may be. Find a prayer corner. Find a crucifix, a religious picture, something that you can sit and just pray and let God nourish you. Let God fill you with his love. Let God anoint you with the power of his Holy Spirit.
You're listening to Empowered by the Spirit on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
My brothers and sisters, I have something very exciting in addition to what we've talked about to talk to you about. And that is a new book that I've written called Be Not Afraid. I was so motivated by the Lord to write this book as the coronavirus, the COVID-19 was breaking, to give people hope, to give people faith. It is a book that isn't terribly long, 116 pages, but it is easy reading, but it's powerful reading. It is a book with power of the Holy Spirit to give you how to have faith in the midst of fear, how to have courage, how to turn to the Blessed Mother, how to turn to the Holy Spirit, how to let Jesus fill in your hearts and souls. Be Not Afraid is exactly what the title is about. It is about having faith. It is about having courage. It is not about fear. As Scripture says, perfect love drives out all fear. Now, what is our program on Be Not Afraid? We are soliciting donors that will help us. We are really discounting it tremendously because we want to give these out for free. The book is discounted from $15 to $5 a book with a minimum order of 100 books. And if you order 100 books, you can give them out to your friends, you can give them out to various ministries that you're part of, and we're hoping the entire parish will adopt it. So, for example, if you have a parish, you can get together some people and donate the books for free for your parish, and it's called Be Not Afraid. You can see it online right now on Kindle, Amazon. We have a Kindle book, Be Not Afraid, you could take a look at if you want to read the content. But this is a book that we really want parishes to adopt because people need hope right now and they need tools on how not to be afraid. So please contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Contact us at DeaconSteve@SpiritfulHearts.org. Go to our website, SpiritFilledHearts.org, and find a way of supporting us. And please thank you in advance for supporting us in prayer. Thank you in advance for supporting us financially and to having a gift given to your parish. God bless you all.
Now, back to Empowered by the Spirit on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Hi, everyone. We are on this very important show called COVID-19, the pandemic of 2020. And we're so pleased to have the Most Reverend David O'Connell, Bishop, Episcopal Vicar of the San Gabriel Pastoral Region, the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. He is the Bishop of the San Gabriel Region. I know that you recently have had many discussions with Archbishop Gomez and your fellow bishops. What is the position of the church during this pandemic?
Well, last Sunday week we had the story from St. John's Gospel of the Samaritan woman, and she was asking Jesus, where is the right place to worship? Is it on the Holy Mountain or is it in Jerusalem? And Jesus said, the time is coming when true worshipers will worship God not on the mountain or on the temple, but in spirit and in truth. Now, actually, just this morning, I was talking to Archbishop Gomez and the other bishops. We were on conference call with each other. I said, we could probably change that a little bit. We could say, right now, the time has come to worship God in spirit and in truth and on the internet and on social media.
Exactly, exactly.
But, you know, it's right now when our churches are basically closed and we don't have our access to the sacraments, especially the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, there's a challenge to all of us to worship Jesus and love him in our hearts, in spirit and in truth, which is worship him by the deeds of kindness and love and mercy that we can do for each other and our families and reaching out to those who are lonely or homebound or frail. This is worshiping him in spirit and in truth by your prayers of adoration, by your prayers together as a family, and then by the acts of kindness and love and mercy each day in your home and with the people that you know might need your help and that you're able to help without putting anybody in any danger of infection. But we have to say that to everything these days. So this is really, we've talked so much, Deacon, and you've been talking about this very beautifully over the years, about the domestic church. But this is really the time for to make real the domestic church. Mom and dad or anybody who's head of the household, gathering family together, praying together, reading the scriptures together. You know, we've taught from our catechism, Jesus is just as much present in the scriptures as in the Eucharist, but we don't kind of recognize that as a reality. But we want to advise people, you know, maybe to do the gospel reflection process. Read the gospel for next Sunday and just talk about it, see where it applies to your life and see how it could change the way you act or the way something you can do differently. Saying the rosary together, of course, and just each one praying to Jesus, for the family, for the world. These are all these practices that we know are beautiful and that can change our lives and change our families, but we have maybe taken all this for granted, and we've just said, well, I can always find Jesus in the church if I need to. So we've neglected these domestic, spiritual practices that are really powerful ways of changing our lives.
One of my favorite scriptures is in Romans 8:28, all things work for good For he who loves the Lord is called according to his purpose. And another one is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Pray without ceasing, rejoice always. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. If you put those two things together, I know a lot of people want to try to understand why this is happening. But all we can say right now is that Jesus loves us passionately, completely, thoroughly, and there are blessings that can come out of this. One of the blessings is the fact that people are now at home, you know, rather than everyone being gone. They can have meals together. They can learn to pray together. They can pray the rosary together. They can listen to radio or the internet or even watch TV in which there's holy things on, if you can see a mass on TV or on the internet. And I have to say, Bishop, the other day, I can't remember the exact day it was, but when they had the worldwide mass, from Vatican, and I participated in that, and to see people, you know, with various comments, countries from all over the world, all worshiping together, you know, the universal church is so powerful.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and I've been talking about this for a while. You probably have heard people talking about this. I said there was another epidemic that was destroying so many lives over the last couple of years, or last few years especially, and that was the disease of loneliness.
Yes.
And, I mean, Mother Teresa talked about this in this country 30 years ago, in the 1980s, about this disease of loneliness. And that was even before any such thing as social media that's so prevalent now. But I could see that the children are suffering so much from loneliness, and young adults, young people, or elderly, most people would say that probably the biggest pain in their hearts was the loneliness. And so this is a terrible reality that's visited upon us right now with this coronavirus. But it is, as you say, an opportunity for us. Please, now, if we can't do it, if we don't do it now, when we'll never do it. But use this opportunity to, like you said, have a meal together, pray together, watch the Mass on the live streaming, talk to each other about the little piece of the Scriptures, and play games together and talk to each other. Because somebody was saying, we were talking with the bishops, some of the bishops from Australia, who was with us at the cathedral about a year ago now, and who was very well up on social media, like Bishop Barron is. And we're talking about what's the next thing that's coming down the line as regards social media. I said, the next thing coming down the line is that we're going to start talking to each other face to face.
I love it. Exactly.
It's a big thing, but my heavens, I didn't realize that what I was saying was going to be prophetic, that now we are together at home, and that we can sit with each other and talk with each other, and maybe at least one illness of the human heart will be healed by this crisis, and that's the illness of this terrible loneliness that has come upon us.
One of my favorite songs, I don't hear it too often anymore, but you'll know that we are Christians by our love. I don't know if you remember that, but and that is where we're at. My brothers and sisters, they will know that you are different by the love that you're showing. Give people a phone call, drop them a note, something, an internet text, whatever it might be. Let people know that you're praying for them, that you're concerned about them. And as Bishop David mentioned, you know, there are so many people who live by themselves. Go out of your way to try and touch base with them, call them, or let them know that you're there praying for them. Give them some interaction, because that's one of the big realities that I've seen already, is some people are calling me up on the phone, and they're calling me, and shame on me for not calling them, but they're calling me on the phone and saying, look, I'm not going out like I normally am, and I'm by myself, so I just want to hear your voice. And that's just so important for people to understand that they want to hear your voice. They want to hear a loved one. They want to hear that it's going to be okay, that give them hope, give them, you know, I mean, it's going to be okay because Jesus is Lord. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. You can't guarantee anything, but what you can guarantee is the peace and love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your thoughts, Bishop?
And I say to people, going back to what the Pope said about doing the prayers of adoration, I say to people, if you pray to Jesus, speak to him with love and gratitude, he has great, it gives him great consolation and joy in his heart. But if you really want to bring happiness and joy to Jesus' heart, speak to each other with kindness and love and compassion, especially to those who are lonely, who are feel afraid or weak or broken or lost in any way. That will bring real joy to Jesus' heart. And that's the prayer of adoration, prayer. That's the worship that he loves most of all. He loves when we speak to him with love and kindness, but he loves it most of all, I think, when we speak to those who are in need and lonely with kindness and love.
My brothers and sisters, today is the day that you can be the personification of Jesus, and every day from this point on, that you are Jesus's heart, mind, soul. You are Jesus as it relates to the personification of his love. And when we think about our responsibility in this time of COVID-19, our responsibility is to love passionately with all our heart, soul, might, and strength. And that to me is what the church is all about. It is the personification of love in action through the Eucharist, through the Mass. But now that we don't have those sacraments, the church is still there loving one another. And what are some other ways that we can be church to one another, Bishop?
Well, just like you were saying there, and we were saying earlier on about the locus of worship, I mean, peoples and different religions down through the ages have had temples or mosques or holy places, sacred spaces. But, you know, it seems to be the scriptures, especially our, you know, Christian faith, have talked about the locus of real worship being in the act of mercy and the act of compassion and the act of forgiveness. We have that in the story of the Good Samaritan, of course, that Jesus was saying there in the story of the Good Samaritan to the people that the real act of worship is the act of mercy. The personal need and the real fulfillment of the law is the act of mercy. So do that. Live that way in your home, your family. Live that way towards those who are in need. And you are, this is the true worship and the true fulfillment of the law. This is the place of the encounter with Jesus. Because again, we take it for granted. We have our beautiful churches and our liturgies, and we take for granted that's the place of the encounter with Jesus, but we have neglected this sacred place of encounter where Jesus said, as long as you did it for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. To keep remembering that, to keep holding that in our minds, and each day, where am I meeting Jesus today? Now that I can't meet him in church, am I going to meet him anywhere else by doing any act of kindness? Like, say, even it might be just that phone call or that outreach to somebody in your own home. Because that's the other part of our faith, is that we have many times got so involved maybe in our parish work and being so busy about so many projects and campaigns that we forgot the very essence of our faith, which is that love for the Lord Jesus, expressed in our love for each other, for the people around us, and for the people who are in need.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about COVID-19 and the role of the church. We're going through challenging times without a doubt, and that's certainly true for ministries and nonprofits. The Spirit Filled Hearts Ministry is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we use our funds to feed the poor, to evangelize, to market in the sense of spreading communication about Jesus Christ to those that really are hungry to hear God's word. Please donate to us. Go to our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. Look under the donate button and donate any amount. We're also looking for those who want to be partners. Partners are someone that will donate on a monthly basis a certain amount of money, and we'll take any amount of money on a monthly basis. So you can contact us, drop us a note, and we'll give you a call and set you up to be a monthly donor. When you are generous, God is even more generous without a shadow of a doubt, as it says in Scripture that God loves a cheerful giver. You're back on Empowered by the Spirit with this special show on COVID-19, the pandemic of 2020, the role of the church, with the Most Reverend David O'Connell, Bishop of the Archdiocese Los Angeles and the Bishop of the San Gabriel region. One of the most important things for me and Bishop, just as a kind of a background, I received a series of dreams. My first set of dreams were three dreams to go to the Philippines, which we've done three times on missions, and then Indonesia and help build churches and schools and all kinds of things there. And it was so obvious that God gave me those. This is a few years ago now, but we've been there a number of times. And then about a little over a year ago, I had a series of three dreams in which the Lord said that our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry, the most important thing that we could do is spread His divine mercy worldwide. I mean, wherever we could. We literally have scheduled 23 conferences. We've held about 14 or 15 of them already. Some have been delayed as a result of the pandemic. But I believe very strongly, and I've been on the diocesan committee for evangelization for a number of years. If we really understand God's mercy and God's love, and especially now in this pandemic, then we really understand that we're loved unconditionally and that we need not fear anything. So praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet every single day is so important, and we really recommend it, along with praying a rosary, obviously, at another time during the day or right after one another. But praying that Divine Mercy Chaplet is so important. Your thoughts about that, Bishop?
So at this time of the year, coming closer to Easter, we have the story in the Scriptures of the woman who was caught in adultery, and how the Pharisees were so anxious not just to stone her to death for her sin, but also to shame her and humiliate her. And we remember that Jesus came from the east, showing that he wanted to bring back the mercy of God, because the presence of God had actually moved away from the temple. It was no longer over the temple because of the lack of mercy, because of the lack of forgiveness, because of the condemnation. And Jesus came from the east back to the temple and was teaching at the temple when they brought him that woman. And there the Pharisees and the scribes wanted to stone her to death, shaming her in front of everybody. And we see the great mercy of Jesus. He wants to bring back the presence of God to the temple by showing mercy to this woman. First of all, he said to the Pharisee, that person who is without sin, cast the first stone. And then he said to the woman, "Woman, has no one condemned you?" And she looked around and said, "No one, sir." He said, "Well, neither do I condemn you. And now go in peace and do not sin no more." And I thought it was very beautiful to see that presence of God is brought back over the temple by the act of Jesus' mercy and forgiveness. And this is how we can bring back the mercy of God to the world. The presence of God to the world by showing these acts of mercy and kindness wherever we can. And this is the great challenge of our time, of course, is to bring back the presence of God upon the world again. And we can do that by our individual acts and words and deeds of mercy and forgiveness, and to touch people's hearts by living this way.
I really believe very strongly, Bishop David, that praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet right now more than ever is such an important thing for us to do, because we're praying it for the whole world, and we're praying for God's forgiveness and mercy and passion. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, because we need to open up our own hearts to that mercy. That's what we do by the prayer, open up our own hearts to that mercy. So then, and we actually are saying these prayers as an act of mercy for the world. Because as we open up our hearts to Jesus, then his mercy begins to flow through us more and more. And as we begin to speak and act with compassion and kindness and forgiveness and mercy, then that's how we're bringing that presence of God. We're bringing the glory of God back into the world by these acts of mercy and kindness, by the prayers of mercy, and by the prayers of the expressed beautifully in the devotions of the Divine Mercy.
My brothers and sisters were with the Most Reverend David O'Connell, a bishop from the San Gabriel Pastoral Region in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. And Bishop, you have done, if I do say so myself, an amazing job of letting the Holy Spirit lead you within your region and beyond. But one of the areas that I so admire your leadership is with young adults. And how, in your opinion, are young adults taking this current pandemic, and what can we do to work more with young adults, especially now, because they're such a vital part of the church, both now and obviously in the future?
Yeah, well, my heart has gone out to the young adults that I've met, because many of them feel lonely, isolated, confused about the future, about the meaning of their lives, both their identity in the world, and they struggle so much, many of them, but I find with them, and this is why I have gravitated towards them, is I find with them that once they have some experience of the love of Jesus and of the mercy of Jesus in their lives, they know they're all in. They're willing to give everything. I mean, I think in my generation, all my friends growing up, even in college, and everybody was interested in, getting a good job and having a career and having to buy a house and have a car. And that was kind of, despite the matter of fact we were, the matter of fact confusion we had in our lives, a lot of problems we had, that was an ambition that we had. And I think many sort of people dedicated their lives to that pursuit. But I find with these young adults that once they have this experience of Jesus and they're so sincere in seeking him, and once they have that experience, that they're willing to give their lives to follow him. But I think the main work that we've done here in the region is to bring them together, in different ways, to keep them in touch with by social media, of course, with each other, but also to have as many events in different parishes, different places for them. And that's been very helpful. But one of the ways in which they have been very sincere is in seeking ways to help the homeless and to reach out to others in some kind of work together, help people in need. So right now, of course, is a difficult time for people to get together. We can't really get together so much, but they're always great on the social media anyway. On the social media, they can organize. They're organizing for themselves places to meet, to pray together. They're coming together to pray the rosary. They're coming together to do gospel reflection process. They're coming together to just even to do some praise and worship separately in their own places on the social media. But also, I think I want to even use this conversation right now that's been brought up whenever people are hearing this, to tell you to, like, here, this diocese of Los Angeles the Office of Life, Justice and Peace is looking for volunteers to be taking food to places where it's needed and to do some of the social outreach that we need to do right now for the people who are in need and who are elderly and who are isolated. But also, there's probably the same in Orange County and all the other dioceses that might hear you. The offices of Life, Justice and Peace will have opportunities for people to volunteer. Because, like I say, these young adults have got great in their willingness just to make sacrifices to help others. And I think we can really call on the generosity of spirit at this time. And, of course, they are not as much at risk as elderly people are, so we really need them to be able to help us do this outreach.
We have the ability to make a difference, each one of us, no matter whether we're a young adult or older person, whatever it might be. And just to give some ideas on some things we can do, we've talked about praying the rosary together as a family, Divine Mercy Chaplet, different things you can do as a family. But you can use the internet now as such an important tool, or you can use just making a conference call. Bishop, one of the things we've had since, believe it or not, 1978, we've had this men's group on Friday mornings that meet at 7 a.m. and talk about the scripture of the upcoming weekend. And we come up with a theme. Well, for the first time in all of those years, 42 years, we're not meeting for obvious reasons. But rather than doing nothing, what we did is set up a conference call. And so we set up a conference call and 12 men jumped on it and they were all very, very happy and very excited. And we covered it kind of in the same format that we did. And so I think we just need to think creatively about different things we can do on the phone, the internet, in various ways of communication without being in front of one another. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, we have to be creative and I'm going to put a new line in the scriptures, to worship God in spirit and in truth and on the internet.
I love it. I love it. And you know, and the more that we are creative, and I believe to the degree, and I've always said this, the degree that you want to serve the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes upon you and allows you to serve him. And that's what's so important. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You are on Empowered by the Spirit. And we're talking about the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020 and what the church is doing. We're going to be right back to talk more about this current crisis and how you can have even greater hope and greater joy, because joy comes from Jesus.
You're listening to Empowered by the Spirit on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
There's a conference coming up on June 13th that we're very excited about. This conference is called Love of the Father, and what a series of speakers we have. We have Neil Lozano, that many of you perhaps are familiar with the Unbound Ministry. So he's going to talk about one of the five keys called Love of the Father in his particular talk. We have myself, who will be talking also on this subject on how can we open our hearts to receive God's love. Father Robert Spitzer, who's head of the Magis Center. He is one of the really great spiritual leaders in Southern California and really beyond throughout the nation and beyond. So he is also on. Lourdes Morales, who is one of our leaders for the Unbound Ministry, and Dr. Sean Tobin, who is a clinical psychologist, and he will focus again on love and mercy. So amazing program on June 13th. Don't worry, don't worry, don't be afraid, do not fear, but know that God is going to use this current situation to bless us. And so the more that we focus in thanksgiving, the more we praise him, the more the miracles will flow.
Now, back to Empowered by the Spirit on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
One of the most important things right now for us to understand in the growth of our faith is the role of suffering. The concept of suffering and redemptive suffering is something that we really don't hear a lot about preached in our churches like we used to. And many Catholics don't understand. They think that, well, I'm being punished if suffering is happening. Tell us, Bishop, if you could, give us a mini teaching on the role of suffering as Catholics.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for that question, Willie. That's very first of all, I think one of the things that happened in our society, maybe it has happened over a whole generation, is that we haven't really been teaching people, and especially our young people and young adults, what do you do with suffering in your life? Suffering comes into everybody's life. But we've more or less been preaching a kind of a heresy that if you have suffering, you can just get rid of it in some way by taking some medication or doing this or that or the other and take it. But we haven't been teaching people how to deal with the reality of suffering in their lives. Something when we were young, I remember if we had problems in school or if our parents were fighting or there was problems at home or we were getting some trouble, I remember we kind of instinctively knew, went to the church and say the pray the Stations of the Cross. I remember there was the church on the way home from my school, and I would go in there once in a while and do the Stations of the Cross if I had some difficulty. And, you know, I didn't really understand how this happened, but after praying the Stations of the Cross, you come out of there and you feel a bit stronger or a bit some consolation or some hope that you didn't have before. And I didn't really understand what the dynamic of that was then. I probably don't understand it completely now either. But I do think that as you pray the Stations of the Cross in time of suffering, that somehow as you have some thought for Jesus and his suffering, or some even your heart goes out to him and his suffering, that your heart opens up and his compassion, his mercy flow into your heart and you actually can feel it. It's like Jesus, in his great gratitude to you for having some sympathy for him and his suffering, like he takes your suffering out to himself and he gives you back some kindness and peace.
And Bishop, isn't in Scripture, I believe there's St. Paul talks about as we participate in the sufferings and the suffering of Jesus, so we also participate in the resurrection. And with Easter coming up, tell us about the role of the two together.
Yes, that's right, yeah. So, well, my advice would be to, in these days, bring your suffering to Jesus. You know, probably many, many of us, deep down our hearts, are worried and fearful and upset and worried about our families and worried about the future and our jobs. And this applies not just in the time of COVID-19, but in all times when you have suffering, take it to Jesus. Take your suffering to Jesus. You mentioned it already at the beginning of our talk today. Get a crucifix. Maybe there's a crucifix hanging on the wall in your house. Maybe just take it down. Just hold it in your hand and just talk to Jesus on the crucifix. Tell him about your suffering, what you're worried about, and think a few and a bit about his suffering. Unite yourself to him and his suffering. Read the Gospels, especially in these days when you have a bit of extra time. Read the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke of the suffering of Jesus. Take some time to do the Stations of the Cross. There's some beautiful Stations of the Cross prayers on the internet also. And in these ways, you're uniting your suffering to the suffering of Jesus. And then something happens, as you've said so beautifully there, St. Paul says, as you unite yourself to him in his suffering, then you will experience some of the new hope and new life of the resurrection in your heart. The other part of this is that what you mentioned there, Deacon Steve, about redemptive suffering. It sounds like a very challenging concept, but in reality what it is what our mothers used to tell us, if you hit your nail with a hammer or if you have some problem, offer it up for the holy souls, right?
Yes, definitely, definitely.
You offer your suffering, united with the suffering of Jesus to God, then and you offer that as your participation, as your sacrifice, uniting with the sacrifice of Jesus, that act of sacrifice of offering your suffering with the suffering of Jesus has actually tremendous spiritual power.
Amen.
Effect, and it can be offered for the sanctification of your family, for the healing of people who are ill, for the consolation of those who are worried or fearful, for the redemption of your family, for the redemption of holy souls in purgatory. But just, so this is the, it's like this is your, again, you know, we're talking about where's church now? Where do I have Eucharist now? Well, you know, when we're always taught that when you go to Mass, you're there participating as Jesus gives his life completely in sacrifice for, in love, for you and for the world. And if you want to imitate that, go and find some place this day where you can offer yourself, offer some sacrifice in love for the good of somebody else, uniting it with the sacrifice of Jesus. And then in that way, all my beautiful brothers and sisters listening, you become Eucharist for the world. People right now are deprived of Eucharist. They can't receive the Lord Jesus in the Eucharist, but you become Eucharist by any act of sacrifice that you do, where you're showing some mercy and kindness and love to others, uniting your sacrifice or your very pain with the pain of Jesus and the suffering of Jesus.
Amen. We're living, my brothers and sisters, through a challenging time, but a time of great opportunity, a time of great faith, a time of leaping with joy within our hearts, knowing that Jesus is with us every step of the way. This Lenten season obviously is a different Lent than we've had before. And coming up to Easter right now, I don't know what's going to happen between now and Easter Sunday and Holy Week. But whatever is happening, obviously it's going to be a different type of Easter, but one of incredible joy. Tell us about Holy Week right now, if you could, Bishop. As we approach Holy Week and as we get closer to Holy Week, it's got to continue to be a week of joy no matter what is going to be happening in terms of our ability to attend Mass or not. We just don't know. But your thoughts about that?
Well, Holy Week is the week in which we really walk with Jesus and retrace all every footstep of his suffering, of his rejection, of his condemnation, of his agony, of his humiliation. We walk that journey with him, starting in Palm Sunday, and then we do that with faith and love and devotion, and so that we may also experience and have that experience of the new life, of the resurrection. So take time on Palm Sunday to read the Gospels of Jesus' suffering. Take time on all during that week to be especially speaking to Jesus in his suffering by speaking to him, speaking to the crucifix or some image of Christ's suffering. And then Holy Thursday, find ways to maybe even have a meal for your own family where you actually have the washing of the feet of each other.
That's a great idea. It's a fantastic
dad
idea.
Dad or mom, ever who's there, yeah, as the leaders of the household, to wash the feet of everybody else.
Oh, that's awesome.
And in order to make that meal of the Holy Thursday, it's like a Passover meal where you maybe read some of the scriptures while you're having the meal. And make your own little Christian Catholic Passover meal.
Amen.
And renew your love for each other. It's interesting, actually, with Jesus at the Last Supper, when he washed the feet of the disciples, he said, "Well, as I have done, you should do for each other." He didn't even say, "Do that for everybody out there on the streets and in the world." He said, "Wash each other's feet to imitate him."
Yes.
So this is a chance for us now, whether you're in a convent or a rectory or a little family, wash each other's feet. Jesus was saying, take care of each other, help each other. Have that, renew that covenant of love between each other in your family, which we probably we don't ever do that. But this is how you renew the covenant with each other, by washing each other's feet and by having that meal together. And then, of course, Good Friday again, just might even do a little recreation of the Station of the Cross in your, with your family. Don't even worry about the social media, just do it with your family. And even set up how you're going to do that, and what special prayers you want to say at each part of the Station of the Cross. Make up your own, do your own prayers of the Station of the Cross. And for the Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday, again, some way to celebrate the Risen Christ by prayer and by the meal. We have the Eucharistic meal in the parish, of course, for Easter Sunday, but it may not be that we'll be able to do that this year. But have the family meal, which is the basis of the Eucharistic meal, especially if that family meal where we are being kind and loving and forgiving and renewing our love for each other and our promise to live that new life of the resurrection, at least in the family and to those that we can help.
This is a message of hope. This is a message of Jesus. This is a message of redemptive suffering, a message that we need to embrace with all our heart, soul, might, and strength. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit now and forever. Bishop David O'Connell, the bishop for the San Gabriel Pastoral Region of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, it has been such a blessing having you on the show. Could you close out the show with a blessing to all of our radio audience?
Yes. So in these troubled times, may the Lord Jesus look with great love upon you. May he pour out from his heart of divine mercy his life and his glory. This glory that will bring peace to your heart, that will bring renewal and new life. May you experience more and more his divine mercy, his love for you, so that you become more and more a source of love and consolation and compassion and mercy for your family, for the people around you, and for the people that you know who need you so much. And that way you become the beautiful Eucharist for others, that Eucharist of life and hope and love and healing and salvation that Jesus became for us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may our Blessed Mother be look with love upon you. Turn to her now. Ask her to teach you to pray. Ask her to teach you how to love Jesus and how to follow Jesus. Nobody loves him like she does. Nobody is his disciple like she is. She will help you every step of the way. Amen.
Amen. And Bishop David, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm very excited about our next show. In addition to this great show that we just had, we're having the president and founder of Priests for Life, Father Frank Prevone. And Father Frank will speak on our current situation as it relates to protecting life. He is someone that has done so much in protecting life, and it's something that you really want to listen to, and that's going to be next week right on this station, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You've been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. This program is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about our mission, visit spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. And if this podcast has been a blessing to you, please consider partnering with us financially. Your generous gifts are the fuel to keep these powerful podcasts coming to you. Go to spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate on the front of the screen. That's spiritfilledhearts.org and click donate. And be sure to tell a friend about our program and encourage them to tune in as well. Until next time, may Almighty God bless you and protect you. I'm a soul on fire. Till I am a soul. listening to Empowered by the Spirit on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.